corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds of the air. Then I heard a voice telling me, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." I replied, "Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth." The voice spoke from heaven a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times. And then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, "Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved." As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So if God gave them the same gift as he gave us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God? When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm this morning is Psalm 148 on page 907 in the Green Book of Alternative Services. So we'll read this alternatively, with me starting and you guys following in the next phrase, and then we'll pray together at the end. So Psalm 148, page 907. Hallelujah, praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights.
Praise him, all the angels of the earth. Praise him, all his hosts.
Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars.
Praise him, heaven of heavens, and you waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created.
He made them stand fast forever and ever. He gave them a law which shall not pass away.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps.
Fire and
mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Wild beasts and all cattle, creeping things and winged birds.
Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the world.
Young men and maidens, old and young together.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name only is exalted. His splendor is over is over earth and heaven.
He has raised up strength for his people and praise for all his loyal servants, the children of Israel, a people who are near him. Hallelujah.
And together, blessed are you, Lord our God, creator of heaven and earth. You open our eyes to see the wonders around us, and our hearts and mouths to praise you. Now give us strength for loving service through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our second reading is from Revelations 21, verses 1 to 6, page 878 in the Red Pew Bible. Revelations 21, verses 1 to 6. Page 878. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And also with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John. Our gospel reading this morning is found in the 13th chapter of John's gospel, beginning at verse 31, ending at verse 35, and that's found on page 763 of your pew Bible. John 13, beginning at verse 31. When Judas was gone, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Please be seated. Let's pray. Gracious God, we stop and acknowledge your presence here among us, Father, by your Spirit. We ask that you would be active and present among us, that these spoken words of mine might be faithful to the written words of Holy Scripture, that they would lead us all to the living Word, Jesus Christ. Amen. Some time ago now, it would have been a month or two, or maybe 2 months ago, we went through the process of discerning and fashioning our mission vision statement. You probably remember that. And we decided to not do the typical sort of corporate thing where you have a really sort of terse statement and then list the values. Instead, we went for what I call the narrative statement of identity, and here's what we said. Keep in mind that this is what we aspire to be, and we hope we are, or at least becoming this, but here's what we said. We love to be together, persevere, and practice the ways of Jesus together. Even though we're at different places on our journey, we share a guiding story as given through the Bible. And we all look for Jesus in each other and in the world we live in. We share faith. We share music. We share differences. And above all, we share God's love of us in Jesus. We all give. We all receive. We are a diverse family who laughs, cries, and prays together and is learning how to love and care for each other. Our greatest ambition is to share this love with everyone around us, in our neighborhoods, and around the world. Welcome home. What catches you in that statement, or what do you see, or what do you get from that? We're not perfect. It's inclusive. It includes differences intentionally. It's a journey. It's a journey. Like I said, we're aspiring to be this. And we built that into who we are, right? What else catches you in that? We're trying to love each other. Very good. It's a place we can call home. Hopefully. That's what we're aspiring towards. Which must mean, Gay said, that our home is in God's love. I think one of the things that struck me again as I read it, and of course I knew I was going to read it, and of course I've read it before this because it ties into my sermon, that love is so central to everything that we're doing there, and in particular, God's love. And we qualify what we mean by God's love in that statement. Do you remember what it is? Maybe I'll ask you another question. This is the Sunday school answer is going to be the one that you give. How do we know God's love?
Experience it.
Yep, for sure. And I heard somebody say that's a really good answer. But I'm looking for a special one. I heard somebody say it. Through Jesus. Right? God's love of us in Jesus. Jesus is the embodiment of God's love to us. So if we go back to the gospel that we're looking at today, that's where I want to preach from. Jesus says, on the night before he was handed over to suffering and death, in the middle of his supper with his friends. And if we were to look at that passage more, and we did a little bit during Easter week on Maundy Thursday, but if we look at that passage a little more, we see that this is bookended by two sort of tragic announcements. Remember how the lection started off this morning? Then when Judas had gone out, well, Jesus had just said, one of you is going to betray me, and it's going to be you, Judas. Then right after this, he addresses Peter. What did he say to Peter? Peter, you're going to give up on me. You're going to say you have nothing to do with me. These are his friends. His good friends, as he prepares to meet the trial of his life, right? In the midst of this, he says, a new command I give you, love each other. I think you can sort of summarize this passage, or at least what I want to get from it, really simply. It's not a complicated thing. Jesus wants us to love each other. And he's given us an example of what that looks like. And this is our witness. That's the sermon we can go. No. Of course, I have a lot more to say about it than that. But that's the summary. And in particular, if you get one thing from this, here's what I want you to get. That God's grace is powerfully present when we give our lives to our brothers and sisters. God's grace is powerfully present when we give our lives to our brothers and sisters. I really debated about the preposition there. You know, in English, prepositions are really important. You know, to, for, with. But we give our lives to our brothers and sisters. And this is a new commandment. Now, it might, at first blush, it might sort of surprise you. What's so new about this commandment? Haven't we read before that there is a commandment that says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says in Luke, love your enemies. So why is he saying this new commandment? Well, first of all, the commandment is new in that we are to love in a very particular way. We're to love as Jesus loves his disciples. And he poured out his life. That's a really good way to say it. He poured out his life. So why does he say love one another instead of love your enemies and your neighbors? Well, first of all, I think we want to point out that this doesn't mean that those other two commandments don't apply. Jesus isn't saying, well, now the new commandment is you don't have to love everyone else, just love each other. That's not what he's saying. Not at all. And that becomes really obvious because the whole point of loving each other is that by doing that, we show forth, we make obvious God's glory. That's what glory means. It means to make the excellence of someone obvious. That's their glory, their excellence that's shining, that's obvious to everyone. But by doing that, we make obvious the character of God and his presence in the world. So that's what's new about this. It doesn't negate the love of our neighbor and our enemy in particular, because this is about our witness to God's presence in the world, God's reconciliation of the world in Jesus Christ. You see, we are supposed to, because of the resurrection, we're supposed to be different kind of people. You see, when we love our enemies, there's no reciprocity. They don't necessarily love us back. There isn't a picture that's given of what the new creation is supposed to be like. And one of the things I think that we also need to point out is that loving our enemies can be, in many cases, and for some of us in particular, much easier than loving the people in this room. We see an example kind of that in our Acts reading, where there was a church split about to happen, the first one, because Peter was including people that he shouldn't include. Peter had a vision and mission statement, something like the one that we want to have. And he got it from God, who said to him, if I have poured out my spirit on these people, who are you to say they don't have it, they don't belong? And it can be really hard to love the people who agree with us the most, but not quite. Right? Who do we fight with the most? The people who we're the closest to. Because we can sort of say, okay, well, I'll be generous and allow for these other people to be, but on the inside, they've got to all look like me, we got to all think like me. That is precisely the thing that Jesus doesn't do. The people he loves, and I love how John qualifies this in the beginning of the chapter here. In John 13, it says, so he loved them to the end. Now, the translation that we use is a little different, but that's a literal reading, and most translations use that. He loved them to the last, or something like that, is how ours puts it, or the extent, he showed the full extent of his love. But it says literally that Jesus loved them to the end. Because that's what he does. To the very end of everything that he is, he loves them. That's hard to do. And he's doing that for the people who went out and betrayed him, denied him, fled from him. So, what does it mean to love each other to the end? Well, I think there's two ways that Jesus loves us, or two words that sort of encapsulate for me. The first word is one that we don't like at all, and that became really obvious when we were having our book study, because David Fitch uses this word a lot. He talks about submitting to each other. He does it by submission to his Father's will, and so submission and by generosity. That's how Jesus loves. There's probably a lot more ways to talk about it, but I want to talk about it in those two terms. In submission to his Father's will. And what I understand that to mean is this, that Jesus resolved to find his identity only in his relationship with his Father. He refused to ground who he was in anything other than the love that the Father has for him, and he would do nothing and say nothing except it be the thing that his Father is saying and doing and wanting him to be and do. That's his ambition. How did I say that here? Jesus loved his disciples to the end because his identity was found 100% in his relationship to the Father. You see, the love that Jesus has, he has capacity to love the way he does because his love is flowing up out of him from his Father. That's where his identity is. He wanted to have his identity in living out the love that he has in the Father. And that means he can be generous to the end, because the well, if you want to say that, his life can have no end because it is found in God himself. Jesus keeps nothing for himself. Keeps nothing for himself. I love one commentator said that there's a distinction here. And as I thought more about it, I think it's really important. He said, Jesus doesn't live a life of self-sacrifice. What he doesn't mean is that we have to sacrifice. Because when I'm sacrificing, I'm still keeping something for myself. And the way the commentator didn't say this, but what I would say instead, what he lived is a life of grace, not self-denial. Because it's a completely new way of living, focused on finding my identity in living out and expressing God's love for the world. You see, Jesus' identity is not in his power, what he can do, what he can effect in the world, his job. When I find my identity in my job, it's really about my power, right? It's about my ability to be something, to do something. Jesus' identity is not in his status. Well, I'm the pastor. You need to treat me that way. It's really hard for me to love you to the end if that's where my identity is. Jesus' identity is not found in his money. And notice that I say his love is generous. Because generosity doesn't have anything to do with money. It has to do with your orientation or your spirit. Jesus was generous with everything that he is because he gave it up. As Gay said, he poured it out. He did not, as it says in Philippians, the letter to the Philippians, he did not think it was something to be grasped, to hang on to. And his identity was not found in his security or his comfort. You see, I'm only able to give myself within limits when I find my identity in these other things. I can only give as much as I can, but still preserve that little bit that has the power, the status, the comfort, the security, the money. But when I'm rooted in God's love, and that's where my identity is, and I live out my identity as being one who expresses God's love in the world, I give myself from the overflow of God's love. And it's all grace. And you see, when God's grace is powerfully present, we give our lives over to our brothers and sisters. Or God's grace is powerfully present when we do this. And God's presence is powerfully present among us. And we show what God looks like. In loving each other as Jesus loves us, we become exactly the thing that everyone is desperate for. We witness to God's character and his presence in the world. And here's another really important thing, is that our identity in Christ then is always an identity with everyone else. It's never just me and Jesus and my Bible. It's never that. It includes that. But you see, Jesus is always giving out himself to us and showing us what the Father is like. So there's no fear or self-denial. There's abundance here. And I can love to the end because I'm always held secure in God's love. So, let's become these kinds of people. Let's become a community, a place where we love to be together. Persevere. I love that, that we put that in there. Persevere. Because it's difficult when people aren't like us and they're on the inside of our circle. And relationships are messy, and it certainly was messy for the disciples. And it, you look at the book of Acts, and they're trying to figure this out. There was one point where Paul went up to Peter in the middle of the big first church council and opposed him to his face and said, "You forgot what you just said in Acts 11. And he makes a big deal out of it. And Peter doesn't hold on to his power, his status, or anything else. And he says, "You're absolutely right." So we have to persevere and practice the ways of Jesus together. And even though we're at different places in this journey, we do share a guiding story in the Bible. And we all look for Jesus in each other. And in the world that we live in, we share. I don't know if you noticed it, but literally at the very center of this is we all give and we all receive. That is really, I think, the very core of what's being said here. And because we're always giving and always receiving, there's always enough, even when it's really hard and persevering has to be the thing that we do. But we all share faith. We share music, we share differences, we share them. I love the idea of sharing difference because we all learn from each other. But above all, or maybe it should say, in and through and because of this all, we share God's love of us in Jesus. We are a diverse family who laughs, cries, and prays together and is learning how to love and care for each other. And that's our witness. That's the next thing we say. Our greatest ambition, then, is to share this love with everyone around us, in our neighborhoods, and around the world. Welcome home. Let's pray. God, you have loved us so deeply in Jesus. Help us to love each other and learn how to do that just as deeply. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.